أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم واكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، all praise be to Allah سبحانه وتعالى, Almighty and Glory, the Lord and the Creator and the Master of the Universe, and peace be upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. I testify that there is no God except Allah, or I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. And my brothers and sisters, once again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all the greatest of reward of being part of this gathering. This is a gathering by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His house. It's the gathering in His house that Allah wills and wants this gathering to take place in His house, and you are all the guests of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that it is a right on the visitor to be given the best of hospitality by the one that's been visited. And the hospitality that Allah Azza wa Jal gives His visitors is the greatest of hospitality. A hospitality in this world that Allah Azza wa Jal will send down His mercy upon them, and Allah Azza wa Jal will send down His tranquility, that peaceful, calming feeling that you have sitting down in the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, that maybe in your own house, in your own bedroom, you don't even get this feeling. And also Allah Azza wa Jal will send down His angels surrounding the people that gather in His house, and Allah Azza wa Jal will remember them the way they remembered Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember them the way they remembered Him. And I guess that last one, you've been remembered by Allah Azza wa Jal, is a great thing itself. Yani an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone these days' name is put in a newspaper, he'll put this newspaper in a frame and he'll keep that newspaper till after he died for the next 20 centuries. Now my name is put in the Sydney Morning Herald. And Allah Alam has probably been mentioned as a criminal. My name is being mentioned. My name is this. My name is that. People like fame. And the bigger the person, and the bigger the organization, and the bigger the one that remembers them, is the bigger they get. There is no one greater than Allah Azza wa Jal. There is no one greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How about when Allah mentions your name? That's an honor from Allah. How about when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions your name? He mentions your name, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي عَبْدِي فِي نَفْسِهِ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي. And if my servant remembers me in himself, I'll remember him in myself. Remember Allah Azza wa Jal in yourself, Allah will remember you in himself. An honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا ذَكَرَنِي فِي مَلَئٍ ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي مَلَئٍ خَيْرٌ مِنْ. And if my servant remembers me in a gathering, in an assembly, I will remember him in a better gathering than his gathering. And if my servant, وَإِذَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَ عَبْدِي شِبْرًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ ذِرَاعًا. And if my servant comes to me and gets closer to me, one hand span, I will get closer to him, one arm's length. وَإِذَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَ ذِرَاعًا تَقَرَّبْتُ إِلَيْهِ بَاعًا. And if he gets closer to me, one arm's length, I will get closer to him, two arm's length. وَإِذَا أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلًا. And if my servant comes walking to me, I'll come running to him. This is your Lord, my brothers and sisters. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla fi ula, glory be to him. Doesn't he deserve to be worshipped? Doesn't he deserve to be sacrificed to? Doesn't he deserve to be obeyed? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continuing with the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, this series that inshaAllah we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to benefit the brothers and the sisters And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us learn from that series that we take one hadith a week if it's required 1 week. And sometimes we might need 2 weeks for one hadith to cover this topic, that inshaAllah by covering this topic, inshaAllah we will learn and inshaAllah we will increase our knowledge. And coming up to the fifth hadith of Imam al-Nawawi that's been narrated by Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in which she says, عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها زوج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحدث في أمرنا ما ليس منه فهو رد من أحدث في أمرنا ما ليس منه فهو رد. عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها, this great companion, this great woman, the mother of the believers, رضي الله تعالى عنها, the most beloved woman to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if she wasn't the most beloved human being to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. One day a companion asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, man ahabbu an-nasi ilayk, O Prophet of Allah, who is the most beloved people to you? So he said, Aisha. So he said, I'm asking from the men, min al-rijal. He said, Abuha, her father. And her father was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So she is the Habiba, the daughter of the Habib. She is the Habiba, the most beloved woman, the daughter of the most beloved man, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in one of his sermons that we had paid back everyone's favors. Everyone that has a favor on us, we've paid him back. Except Abu Bakr. We left that to Allah Azza wa Jal. And subhanAllah, the sacrifice that Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the struggling and the hardships, and what Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu put, everyone who had paid him back, every human being and every companion that has a favor on us, we've paid him back. Except Abu Bakr. It's too much for us to pay him back, so we left it to Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal honored Abu Bakr by being the father-in-law of the great man Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that was Aisha. And Aisha, my brothers and sisters, was married to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at a young age. And she was engaged to him at 6 years old, and she got married to him at 9 years old. And she was the third wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which alayhi salatu wassalam, after Khadija, and he never got married to anyone besides Khadija during her lifetime, 3 years after her death, a woman by the name of Khawla, she came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and she said, O Prophet of Allah, and you're living single, you've been 3 years, yes, you're upset over Khadija and so on. How about I propose to you two women, one virgin, and one that's been previously married, that you could get married to. So Nabi Sassam said, and who is the virgin you are proposing to me? And Nabi Sassam, so she said, Aisha. So Nabi Sassam had a smile. And then he said, and who's that thayyib, and who's that woman that's not a virgin that you're proposing to me? She told him, Sauda bin Zam'a. Sauda bin Zam'a radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Nabi Sassam accepted both. He got married to Sauda on the spot. And so there was an old woman, and he got engaged to Aisha at the age of 6, and then he moved in with Aisha at the age of 9. Allah speaking about this, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and at the age of 9, you can't compare. Allah, everyone saying 9, you know what, 9 like my niece that's 9 years old, 9 like this girl that I saw the other day that, you know, she doesn't even know how to walk or speak. That shy girl that can't even eat, 9 years old. You can't compare the girls of these days with the girls back then. The girls of these days, yani, they're not as mature as the girls back then. At the age of 9, she reached the age of puberty. Usually women reach the age of puberty by the age of 9. That's between age of 9 and age of 14. And that depends on the area, the environment, the atmosphere, the heat of the places. So usually women reach the age of puberty by the age of 9. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was with them, one of them. So saying Aisha at the age of 9, that means she's like any woman that's these days, you could compare her with the age of 15 and 16. And a lot of people get married at the age of 14 and 15 and 16. My mother, for example, was one of those who got married at the age of 14. And a lot of other women, you find half of the people here tell you, hey, my mom got married when she was 14, my mom got married when she was 15, was 16. So there's nothing unusual about it, just because we're in a different time and era. And a hikmah from behind the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam getting married to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is he got married to her in a young age. That's one thing. Secondly, in that young age, she's got a clean mind. She hasn't been through the experience and the problems and the hardships of other women that's the age of 20 and 30. So her mind is so clear. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got married to her 8 years before he passed away, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, yani the hikmah from behind him getting married to Aisha is this woman came in as, like, for example, a computer just to take all the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. A computer that's free, that, you know, the computer inside the hard drive of it is free, and just collected all the knowledge of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Where you don't find the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the other wives that's old, who they, like, for example, Sauda, she got married to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she had kids, she's been through a lot of problems, her husband, so her mind is occupied, she's occupied with the children. But someone like Aisha, she moved in at the age of 9 years old. The only thing she was, she's to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and learn from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. The alayhi salatu wasallam passed away, and half of the knowledge that you have in your hands was in the mind and the memory of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So may Allah azza wa jalla reward Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the greatest of reward for her spreading this knowledge, that if it wasn't for her, we would not have this knowledge. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is one of the great narrators of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She narrated over 2,000 hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. And those 2,000 hadith are very distinguished to the other thousands of hadith that you hear. Those 2,000 hadith are mainly relating to the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his household. Who's going to know that? No one is going to know what happens inside the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that woman that Allah azza wa jalla chose to be the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that came in a very clear, empty mind and very smart and wise mind, moved into the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and learned from the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam the knowledge of Islam, that she passed on this knowledge to us. That one of the scholars, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, if all the Muslim believer women's knowledge put together and Aisha's knowledge by itself put together, Aisha's knowledge will be much heavier than all the Muslim women's knowledge. Radiallahu ta'ala anha warda. She narrates this hadith. She says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ikhwani, as you all aware, that it is the etiquette that when you hear the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, is to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, al-bakhilu man dhukirtu indahu walam yusalli alayhi, that the selfish and the stingy person is the one that my name is mentioned before them, in front of them, and they don't even praise me. So when you hear the name of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, you say sallallahu alayhi wasallam or alayhi salatu wasalam, or any way that you say it. She says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that man ahdatha fi amrina ma laysa minhu fawarad. This is a very important hadith. It's a central principle in Islam. It's a principle. This hadith is more of a principle, a law. A law that under it applies a lot of things. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that anyone that innovates or comes up with something new that's not part of our matter, and referring to our matter here is our religion, it's rejected. It's rejected. So this deen, my brothers and sisters, is a deen that came from Allah Azza wa Jal, not from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam has got no input into the structure of the deen. Allah is the one that structured this deen and passed it on through Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us. And that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٍ يُوحَىٰ. Muhammad doesn't speak from his own, he's only someone that gets revelation from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says the smallest thing, that for example, whoever uses the siwak, Allah will reward him. Something very small to that. He didn't get the freedom from his own. Know that he got it from his experience. It's something that Allah revealed to him. It's something that Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to him. Because you have to realize our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam has two main characters. The scholars divide the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam into 3 and 4. But we'll speak about the two main characters of the Prophet. A character as being a human being and a character as being a prophet. A character as being a human being and a character as being a prophet. A character as being a prophet is when the Prophet says, this is halal, this is haram, this is acceptable, this is not acceptable, this is allowed, this is not allowed, this is permitted, this is not permitted. This is a hasana, this is a sayyah, this gets closer to Allah, this doesn't get closer to Allah. He, the Prophet is speaking as a character of a prophet. But sometimes in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a lot of times he speaks as a character of a human being. My experience that if you add this over that, this will happen. Like for example, how they used to fertilize the palm trees. Allah, the palm trees, yani, this is my simple knowledge of it. I don't know how far it goes, yani, but from what we understand, in my simple understanding of it, the palm trees, there's a male palm tree and there's a female palm tree. And there's something from the, there's some seeds or something that you have to take from the male palm tree to, we have to fertilize it and wipe it over the female palm tree and exactly the opposite. So the palms come out fresh and the palms come out ready to be for harvest. So this is, and it is a nature that people know. So once the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw their companions doing such, so he said, what are you doing that for? And they call that ta'bir. Why are you doing that for? So they listened to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sam'an wa ta'a. So they left it. What happened? The dates came out wrecked. The dates came out wrecked in the season, at the end of the season. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'm a human being, I don't know nothing of your dunya. Do whatever you want. So here the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he spoke like that, what did he speak as? As a character of a prophet or as a character of a human being? He spoke as a character of a human being. Does that character apply on us? It doesn't apply on us. That character, that's not the character that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us to follow as when He speaks as a human being. But as a character, as a prophet, as a human being, as someone that we love, yeah, of course we follow him. But I'm talking about when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions something as a character of a human being, that's not a ruling over us. For example, another example, when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the Battle of Badr and Habab ibn Munzir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came and told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something that this became later on something that the ulama of usul always use. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he went to the place of Badr, there was a small lake or a small well that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stood behind that well or stood behind that lake. So Habab bin Munzir has more experience than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the battlefield. So he came to him and he told him, O Prophet of Allah, see where we're standing now? Is that a place that Allah had ordered us to stay here, or is this your own experience? So the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to know to distinguish. The Prophet is speaking to him as a character of a human being, or is speaking to him as a character of a prophet. So he told them, is this something that Allah Azza wa Jal ordered us to stay here? We stay, without even question. Even if we're ordered to stay, we stand over our heads, we stand over our heads. But is this a place that Allah had ordered you to stand here, or is it your own experience? So Nabi, it's your own experience. وَإِنَّمَا وَالْحَرْبُ الْمَخَدِيعَ. Is it something that your experience of battlefield, of how to deal with the battle, is your tactics, your strategies? Nabi Sassam said, it's got nothing to do with the revelation. This is my own experience, my own thoughts. So I told them, O Prophet of Allah, then take my experience. That's not where we stand. We stand on the other side and make the world behind us. So when the enemy comes, we prevent them from drinking. In this way, we drink and they don't drink. And we get water and they don't get water. So what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do? He followed. So he, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, did such an action as a human being. And of course, my brothers, this topic has got more into it. Inshallah, we'll speak about that more. This is one of the topics that ulama al-usul speak about. Shakhsiyat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam ka nabi aw ka bashar. The character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam as a prophet, or the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a human being. And of course, it is more into following the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a human being. If I follow the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a human being, for example, the way he sleeps has got no hasana in it, it's got no sayyah. You sleep however you want to sleep. You sleep on a mattress that's 1 meter thick, or you sleep on the ground, it's both the same. But if you, from the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you follow him, then you get rewarded for the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not for the actual action. Like for example, see this hat, okay, see this abaya. There is no hadith that indicates that this hat or this abaya is considered to be a sunnah, as a sunnah, a rewarding sunnah. This is not a sunnah. This is a customs of the Arabs. Abu Jahl and the rest of the non-believers used to wear things like that too. But Why do we wither? We don't wither because of this. We wither because of the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah will reward you because of the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Allah will reward you because of the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. But for example, using the siwak, Allah will reward you because using the siwak, actually using the actual siwak, is a sunnah, and Allah will reward you because of the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Yani this is just a bit of an introduction into a small topic that if we want to speak about it, we'll probably stay here for another 5 or 6 hours. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Man ahdatha fi amrina ma laysa minhu fahu rad. Whoever innovates or brings up something that's not part of our matter, and referring to this matter here is the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which is Islam, it's rejected. It's rejected. Okay, what's rejected here, ikhwani? The Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam is referring to the Sharia. Allah, there's a law of innovation in life. Life is full of innovations. Okay, where we were 30 years ago, where we are now, there's big innovations. Okay, how we used to live 50 years ago without electricity, now you live with electricity, that's innovation. For example, how you used to have, there's no carpet before, now this carpet and so on, this is innovation. Before you used to be riding the donkey and the horse, now you've got a car, this is innovation. So all this is innovation. Life is full of innovation, okay? Life is full of innovation, okay? And innovation is sometimes good. And innovation takes you to the good, or sometimes takes you to the bad, no matter what aspect of life you take. What innovation is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam referring to? Is he referring to the innovation of life? He's referring to the innovation of the Sharia, to the deen. Whoever comes up with something around the deen of Allah azza wa jal that's not from it, it's rejected. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not talking about wallah inventing something that didn't exist, like they used to have camels and now he invented a car and that's an innovation. What is an innovation? Because he had came up with something new that's rejected. No, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is referring from our matter. And look at the precise words and the precise terms that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used. Ahdatha fi amrina. Whoever comes up with something that's out of our matter. Out of our matter. So what's our matter here? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is referring to the deen of Allah azza wa jalla, to the sharia, to the halal and haram, and especially, ikhwani, to the worships. The innovations, ikhwani, mostly takes place in the worships. Innovations in the mu'amalat, it could be acceptable, it could be rejected. Innovation in the mu'amalat could be acceptable, could be rejected. What's a mu'amalat and what's ibadat? Here we have two things. We have something called ibadat, we have something called mu'amalat. Ibadat, ikhwani, the human being in this life, he's either dealing with Allah Azza wa Jal alone, or he's either dealing with another person. Dealing with Allah Azza wa Jal, you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has rights over you, and you have rights over Allah Azza wa Jal, that's what we call ibadat, worships. Like for example, when I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's got nothing to do with anyone, that's between me and Allah. It's not harming fulan, it's not benefiting fulan. It's something between me and Allah Azza wa Jal. When I fast, it's something between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I perform hajj, it's something between me and Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is a ibadah. A ibadah is a worship that's between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mu'amalah, transactions and dealing, is got a third party. Here the third party is a person. Like for example, what's mu'amalah? When I want to buy and sell, do I buy and sell to myself? I don't buy and sell to myself. I buy and sell to another person. So I sell something to him, he buys it off me. I buy something from him, he sells it to me. When I want to get married, do I get married to myself? I sit down and say, I'll marry myself to myself, and I get reject my marriage to myself. Nah, when you get married, you're married to another person. So there's another party there. Okay, when there's a penalty, who do you put penalty on? Yourself? Penalty on another person. For example, when it's for example jihad, who do you fight? Yourself? You don't fight yourself, you fought another party. So the mu'amalat is dealing with another party. Mu'amalat is dealing with another party. Ibadat is dealing between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, with mu'amalat, innovation takes place. And that innovation, my brothers and sisters, takes place. And that innovation could be innovation, as some scholars divide it, to bid'ah hasana or bid'ah sayyi'ah, bid'ah acceptable innovation or a rejected innovation. This applies on the mu'amalat. Here, applies on the mu'amalat. Because year by year, the lifestyle of people changes. Year by year, the lifestyle of people changes. And dealing with others also changes. So sometimes there's something that's got to come up, something's got to be innovated, something that's been created to deal with people and how to deal with people and how to have the barriers in dealing with people. When it comes to ibadat, you stop. Ibadat, there's a very, very, very bright red line where you can't go over. Ibadat, my brothers and sisters, is a very, very sensitive issue that you only do what the Prophet ﷺ did. And you stop over there. When it comes to ibadat, and when we're talking about ibadat, once again, what's ibadat? It's that dealing. It's that action that's between you and Allah Azza wa Jal alone. It's got nothing to do with anyone. When it comes to ibadat, my brothers and sisters, it's a very fine and dangerous line. And that fine, dangerous line is that you deal with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are dealing with Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to deal with Him the way He wants it. Not the way you want it or the way Fulan wants it. You deal with Allah Azza wa Jal the way He wants you to deal with Him. And that's why when it comes to the ibadat, the scholars say, Al-aslu fil ibadat al-hurma. Originally, that all the worships are haram until what Islam says it's halal. Well, another thing is, Al-aslu fil ashya' al-ibaha, that originally everything is halal until the verse comes or until the hadith comes and says it's haram. But when it comes to ibadat, Al-aslu fil ibadat al-hurma, that originally everything, all the worships are haram until Islam, or until what Allah Azza wa Jalla His Prophet allows us to do, it becomes halal. So when it comes to the ibadat, when it comes to that relationship between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must go according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. Without adding or decreasing, without increasing or decreasing anything, without adding or reducing anything, you must stick to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Like for example, Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to pray to Him for dhuhr. He wants you to pray to Him for dhuhr. Tayyib, Salat al-Fajr, Salat al-Dhuhr, Salat al-Asr, Salat al-Maghrib, Salat al-Isha. Fajr is 2 rak'ah, Dhuhr is 4 rak'ah, Asr is 4 rak'ah, Maghrib is 3 rak'ah, Isha is 4 rak'ah. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. Why is Fajr 2 rak'ah? Why is Dhuhr 4 rak'ah? Why is it Maghrib 3 rak'ah? Why is Isha 3? The biggest scholar in the world never answered that question. You know why? Because it's something that Allah wants you to do. Without a question. There's no answer to that. And that's why the scholars call this هذا أمر تعبدي. This is an order from Allah Azza wa Jalla. Why is it 2 rak'ah fajr, it's not 4 rak'ah fajr? And why is it 4 rak'ah duhr, it's not, for example, 6 rak'ah duhr or 2 rak'ah duhr? Allah wants it that way. Allah wants it that way. Aren't you worshipping Him? He wants you to worship Him that way. Without why, without how, without hikam. And that's where the scholars call this Amr Ta'abudi. Amr Ta'abudi means it's a worship that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants you to do. Without a question, without why, without this, without that. For example, when you go to Hajj, you stand at Arafah, you go to Muzdalifah, you start stoning things that, yani when you come to your common sense, it doesn't make sense. Why are you doing it? Amr Ta'abudi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do it. This is a worship that Allah wants you to do it. Whose way? His way. That's how He wants you to do it. So for example, okay, my common sense says that the more I do to Allah Azza wa Jal is the better. Usually, for example, the more I work for my boss and the less I take from him is something that my boss will be proud of. This is my common sense. Of course, the more marks I get in my exams is the better for me. Okay, can I apply that in the ibadah? Like for example, Allah wants from me to pray to Him 4 rak'ah duhur. By Allah, I'm going to pray to you 6 rak'ah for you. Is that acceptable? Your common sense says adding that 2 rak'ah is something good. True? Something good and extra. Of course. But is it acceptable to Allah? It's not acceptable. Ya Allah, I'm going to be better than everyone else. 10 times I'm going to pray to you every day, duhur 40 rak'ah. And every day, asr 40 rak'ah. And every day, maghrib 30 rak'ah. And every day, isha 40 rak'ah. To your common sense, I'm doing a worship. But is it acceptable to Allah? It's not acceptable to Allah. Why? Because أحدثت أمرا في دين الله عز وجل ما ليس منه. You had just innovated something from the deen of Allah عز وجل. That's not part of it. It's not part of the deen. You had added something into the worships. That's not part of it. You had created something. That's not part of it. And that's where the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم said, فهو رد. It's rejected. Even if it's to you something good. Like subhanAllah, I'm saying instead of 4 rak'ah, you pray 40 rak'ah duhur. To my common sense, to your common sense, it's something good. I've done something a lot. But to Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not acceptable. Why? Because Allah Azza wa Jal orders you to worship Him His way. Like for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you to fast from Fajr to Maghrib. So what do? You say, you know, Allah, I'm going to do this so good and I'm going to stay till Isha fasting. I'm going to stay till Isha fasting just to show you my sincerity and my love to you, oh Allah. I'm going to stay till Isha fasting. I'm going to have the extra 2 hours for your sake. Is that acceptable? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade that. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam forbade the continuous fasting that you continue. Khalas, once Allah Azza wa Jal, if you want to get closer to Allah, when you break your fast, what did the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? You break your fast on the spot. You break your fast. So at the end of the day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to worship Him His way. His way. Not my way or your way or not common sense, your common sense. That's something between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah wants you to do it the way He wants you to do it. Without ifs, buts, without wallah adding, without increasing. And that's where a lot of people start to fall into a major hole. Where they start to innovate worships. Start to add on things saying that these things will get us closer to Allah Azza wa Jal. These things will make Allah more happier from us. These things will attach our hearts to Allah Azza wa Jal. Like for example, I want to add from my prayers. I want to create a new prayer. I want to create a new way of worship. Just to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's going to be acceptable, then those who do the yoga, and those who do those Hindus and those Christians who sacrifice their life for the sake of Allah, then their worship should be accepted too. Because they created things. And believe me, they are very sincere for it, for their love of their Lord, and they'll do so much for their Lord. And they'll sacrifice. But is Allah going to accept that worship? No, because their worship is not according to Allah's way. So there's a lot of people that worship Allah, they're sincerely. Believe me, these people that, you know, some of these Christians that sacrifice their time and so on, they're doing it for the Lord, but they live for the love of Lord. Or for the love of God. But is Allah accepting that from them? He's not going to accept it from them. Why? Because it's not according to Allah's way. Allah wants you to worship Him His way. That's it. You stop there. Without questioning, without buts, without ifs. Okay, you want to add? You add according to that limit that Islam had given you. You want to add? You add to the limit that Islam had given you. And if Islam had told you to stop adding, you stop adding. That's it. So that's where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Man ahdatha fi amrina ma laysa minhu fa huwa rad." Whoever innovates something that's not from our matter, it's rejected. It's rejected. And this mainly applies to the worship. Mainly applies to the worship. And what a beautiful hadith from our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that everything that gets you closer to Allah, I have shown you. And everything that makes you away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, I have shown you. A simple hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, everything that gets you close to Allah, I've shown you the path to it. And everything that makes you away from Allah Azza wa Jalla, I've shown you the path to it. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pass away from this world until Allah told him, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. Atmamtu alaykum na'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-deen. Tirah had completed the religion. The religion of Islam was complete before the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Was perfected before the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not pass away until he told the companions, Ala fashhadu anni ballagd. Witness that I had conveyed the message. I had spread the message. So alayhi salatu wasalam did not pass away from this world until he conveyed the full message. The full 100% message. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam did and sacrificed and did until he conveyed this message fully. And alayhi salatu wasalam passed away from this world content knowing that he had passed the message fully. So alayhi salatu wasalam has shown us all the paths that take us to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had shown us all the paths that take us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In general or in details. And that's why my brothers and sisters, he made it very clear. Anything that gets you too close to Allah, I've shown you. And if there's any path that will get anyone closer to Allah, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would have beat you to it. These days people innovate few things. Especially people from Sufism, people from other sects. They innovate things. They innovate things that it's good, it makes me feel stronger with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yeah, it might make you feel stronger with Allah, but it's not going to be acceptable to Allah because Allah only accepts what? His way, not the way you feel it. Not the way he thinks. And he might be, wallah, so happy that, you know, I feel close to Allah. And maybe you do start to have that fear of Allah in your heart that you don't do the haram anymore and so on. But that's not acceptable to Allah because Allah does not accept only what he had ordered. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not accept only what subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed us to do. So you find people start to innovate with the worships. Brother, sister, if this worship really gets you to Allah or really gets you closer to Allah, there's someone more eager and someone loves Allah more than you who would have done it before you. And these people also, like the companions, would have done it. So what? You became better than the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you found a new structure or way that gets you close to Allah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam missed out on it? No. So that's why my brothers and sisters will stick to what the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did when it comes to the worship. So when it comes to the mu'amalat is a vast. It's an open thing. the mu'amalat, when it comes to dealing with people, the mu'amalat, my brothers, is a big door. And that's where sometimes innovations are needed. Sometimes innovations are needed. And that's where the scholars say, bid'ah hasana, bid'ah sayyi'ah. Bid'ah hasana, an acceptable hasana, and a rejected hasana. When it comes to the mu'amalat, you need it, because at our time now is much more different than the time before. If you really want to apply a lot of the things that they had at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, three quarters of our mu'amalat would have been rejected. But sometimes time and error force you to change. And that change is what we call innovation. But if it's for the good, it's acceptable. If it's not, it's rejected. And sometimes some innovations, my brothers and sisters, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً فَلَهُ أَجْرُهَا وَأَجْرُ مَنْ عَمِلَ بِهَا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And same thing, وَمَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً سَيِّئَةً, that whoever starts a good hasana that people later on take from. And this hasana could be a lot of things. It could be a lot of things. I was talking yesterday about the Quran Kareem. The Prophet ﷺ passed away and there was no such thing called a book of the Quran Kareem. The Quran Kareem was in the hearts of the believers. But it wasn't a book, it wasn't in a book. So who started that? It was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu that put the Quran together and made it in one book. And then who printed copies of it? Was Uthman. So who started this hasana? Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And who's getting that hasana and the rewards of that hasana to the Day of Judgment? Is Abu Bakr and the rest of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Like for example, let's say that the person that invented that light. And that light is so useful, but unfortunately he's a Jew. But let's say he was a Muslim. It's a hasana that people benefit from. People reading, people open, look, it's how much good it's been used for. It's a hasana that if this person that was behind it did it, and he was a Muslim, Allah would have given him rewards, and the rewards of everyone that used that light to the Day of Judgment. And all these hasanat that came. And one of the hasanat that one of the companions started is Umar al-Khattab. Umar al-Khattab, when he saw the companions, everyone neglecting Salat al-Taraweeh, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he used to pray Taraweeh alone. Only once or twice he prayed as a jama'ah with the companions and was afraid that it will become an obligation on the companions. So the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't come out the third day. Umar al-Khattab, his time, he gained the companions and made Ubay bin Ka'ab to lead the prayer. And then he said, "Ni'ma al-bid'atu hadhihi." He said, this is a good innovation that brought the companions together. No, he didn't start a worship. He started something that brought the companions together on a good. Started the bringing the companions together on good. Like, you know, there's a lot of things in life. Like, for example, we started a youth center. And the youth center, there was no such thing as a youth center at the time of the Prophet ﷺ and so on. But we started that youth center for the sake of bringing Muslims together. This is a hasanah. That we get the people that behind that youth center get hasanat, and people later on that take this idea will get hasanat. Someone, for example, started something like, for example, audio, and started to tape audio, and people start to learn from it. This is a hasanah people benefit from to the Day of Judgment, and the person that takes on this idea also benefit from. So these are the hasanat that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man sanna sunnatan hasanatan falahu ajruha wa ajru man amila biha ila yawm al-qiyamah." That whoever starts a good hasanah, he'll get the rewards of that good hasanah to the Day of Judgment, and everyone that does it to the Day of Judgment. Whoever also does or starts off a bad sayyi'ah, someone came up with something that's bad, He'll get the sins of that to the Day of Judgment. And that person, for example, that started drugs. That person that came up with that drug ID. This person is getting the sins of every person that's falling into this haram to the Day of Judgment. Someone, for example, started something that's evil and people start to take on the evil. This person will keep on getting the evil sins till the Day of Judgment. So this is something that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has spoken about. And that's why as a Muslim I should always look into a hasana. Something, a good hasana that could start off. And there's a lot of good hasanat that you could start off. You come up with an idea, a da'wah idea that will attract people and people will start following. A da'wah idea that will attract people and people start following. Someone, for example, came up with a book that, wallahi, suits Muslims in this country. And then people start to read the book, and people start to add in that book, and people start to publish that book. This is a hasanah that I started. There's a hasanah that I started, and people, whoever reads and people after, to the Day of Judgment. So this is the hasanah that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. Remember the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, من أحدث في أمرنا ما ليس منه فهو رد. Whoever innovates something that's not part of our matter and not part of our religion, it's rejected. And this is something that refers to the innovation. And of course, the topic of innovation is a big topic. We spoke about that before, and this is just in a quick summary, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you all, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your sacrifice coming to His house. And may Allah azza wa jal use you for the deen. My brothers and sisters, the best of thing as being a Muslim is not only being a Muslim and not only practicing Islam, but calling to Islam. Allah azza wa jal says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Isn't there any better than someone standing and saying that, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا, saying that, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ, calling to Allah. That's the best of deeds, is calling to Allah Azza wa Jal and do the righteous deeds and saying, I'm from among the believers. So my brothers and sisters, always ask Allah to use you for this deen. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make you a soldier in this deen. Always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be someone that upholds the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the true believer. Not wallah, just pray and fast. Alhamdulillah, that's a good thing. But the biggest step is to be used for this deen. Your life revolves around this deen. Your life is only for the deen. And you do for the deen, and you live for the deen, and you die for the deen, and you stand up with this deen. That's when you enter the paradise of Rabbil Alameen. اللهم اجعلنا من الذين يستمعون القول فيتبعون احسنه سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد ان لا اله الا انت نستغفرك ونتوب اليك ان شاء الله اخواني don't forget Monday night inshallah bring your friends inshallah